I named this sermon a happy life. We all are familiar with the saying, a happy wife means a happy life, right? So today we're going to enlarge that here today. Serving Jesus should be a positive, joyful experience. Amen? I don't know if you remember the old hymn, Trust and Obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to... All right, that's kind of the theme of where we're heading here today. If you are not happy in Jesus, it's probably because you're not doing anything for Jesus. Okay, we'll move on from there. All right, serving Jesus should be a positive and joyful experience. Is every day a party? No, it is not, okay? We have never been promised a rose garden, right? Remember Loretta Lynn's song, Years Past? That's a lot of years past, and we'll move on from there. All right. If we want to experience joy on our Christian journey, two things must be in place. We must be having a relationship with Jesus Christ, and hopefully you are in relationship with him. But there is also a part of us that needs to serve. We need to be obedient. If you love me, you will do what I command, what I ask you, right? And so that is part of it. And so that's what we're looking at here today. Our theme, as you see on the posters up here on the front wall, is sent. It's out of John chapter 20, verse 21. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And that's not just to the 12 disciples, but it's also to us here this morning. So I know you're all excited about this sermon. So we're going to jump right in. We're going to pick up at Luke chapter 10. I want you to realize this is where Jesus is sending the 70 or 72, depending on your translation, how they interpret that. But in Luke chapter 9, he has sent the 12 out. And so now he's sending out the 70. So we will pick up at verse 1. He said, okay, my point is sent. Point number one is sent, all right? All right, I forgot that. Luke chapter 10, verse 1. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sent." Jump to verse 16. "Whoever listens to you listens to me. Whoever rejects you rejects me. But whoever rejects me rejects him who sent me." So today we're going to be talking about the disciples. How many here is a disciple? Okay, half of you. All right. Hopefully the rest of you will get saved by the end of the service. All right. Discipleship 101 was this for the disciples. They were invited to follow Jesus. And so they did. Jesus called them, they began to follow him, and they watched what Jesus did. Then Jesus invited them to join in ministry with them. He gave them assignments to help him out to do certain things that he was trying to accomplish. And then lastly, as we see here in Luke 9 and 10, he sends them out on their own. And so Jesus pushed them out of their comfort zone. And I don't know about you, but there's been a lot of firsts in my life. Do you remember your first? You remember the first time you drove? You know, we're pretty cocky about, oh, I can do that. But when you get behind that wheel of that vehicle, it's a scary experience, right? There's a first. First time you asked a girl out, guys, was kind of nervous, right? Were you nervous? I was. I don't know about the rest of you, but I was nervous. The first time you had to stand in front of a group and talk, I still have those nervous moments. First job interview, some of you might have just filled out an application and went to work, but some jobs entail that you go through an interview, and they talk to you and ask you lots of questions that sometimes you don't even have answers for, so you just bluff it. That's why I'm here today. So... first child, you know, it's wonderful to have that first child, but when you go home and that thing starts crying and you don't know what to do, there's a little bit of fear there, isn't there? What do we do now? Where's mom, right? Where's dad in these moments? First time you witnessed, right? Isn't it nice to just fall into a spiritual conversation with somebody? But isn't it weird when you are determined to go out and have a spiritual conversation, how much harder it is? How fearful you get? Like, what am I going to say? What am I going to do? What if they... All those type of things go through your mind. So when you witness, I remember the first time I preached. I was 18 years old. I was in a Nazarene church. The youth were doing the service, and I was asked to preach. And so that was my first experience. Mouth was dry as cotton. I was shaking, and I made it through. I made it through. Hallelujah. And I'm still trying to make it through. Amen. So, you know, funerals, weddings. I did community services. Every new church, always that first, and how nervous we are and how hard it was. And so I just want you to have that in mind as the disciples stepped out. I mean, they weren't confident individuals that were just ready to do it. They were just like us, feeling that awkwardness, feeling that fear and doubt sometimes that we face when we're doing something for Jesus Christ. But Jesus had prepared his disciples to serve just like he has prepared you. When Jesus sent his disciples before him, he explained how he wanted them to do it. He said, I want you to go out two by two. Makes sense. It's easier to do ministry with somebody. He gave them the content. I want you to preach the kingdom of God is at hand. And I want you to do what? I want you to preach. I want you to heal the sick and cast out demons. Mm-mm-mm. What happened to that call? All right. Hallelujah. He said, I want you to go out and I want you to open up your eyes, because sometimes when we go and we look at the harvest, we only see those groups of people that we want to minister to or we're called to. So children's pastors, you're not just called to the children, you're called to everybody. And adults, we're not just called to minister to other adults, we're called to minister to any age group. And so he said, open your eyes, the harvest is all around you. He said, I want you to pray to me for more workers. And I'm going to, for most of us, that doesn't mean anything unless you're involved. Because then you see how big the harvest really is. Amen. And you're like, I'm incapable of doing this. I need somebody to come alongside. So he said, pray to me that I might send out some workers to help. He said, you are lambs and not wolves and lions. Somehow we've got this idea that we are, Jesus is, we call him what, the Lion of Judah, right? How many know that Jesus didn't come as the Lion of Judah? Jesus came as a lamb to be slain for the sins of the world. And so we are to follow into Jesus' steps. We are not to be lions. We are to be lambs. And that's what he said. Go out. Be as lambs. Follow Jesus' example. Jesus is coming back as the Lion of Judah. But when he came first, he came as the Lamb of God. So he also said in verse 16 there, be prepared to be rejected. Isn't that good news already? That most of the people you talk to don't even want to hear what you have to say. That's a good start, isn't it? Amen. Just to know that you're out there just flapping your gums and no one's even listening. So, but anyway, so what are some takeaways here for us here today? Number one, we are sent. We are sent. He has called each and every one. I believe it. I will say it as long as I am here, that each one of us has a call of God on our life to do something for the kingdom of God. We don't do ministry alone. That's why he has put us in the church. And for those that are home watching, maybe you're there for a good reason. Maybe you have an excuse not to be here. Whatever that excuse is, if it doesn't hold water, then you have Jesus to answer to. I really believe that. Because this is the church. We are to gather as the church and be the church to work together. As individuals, we are not the church. If you're sitting home in your living room watching, you are not the church. I mean, that's dangerous. I may have to back up on that statement. You can still be part of the church, but we are, as we gather, church is a gathering of people, the assemblies of God. What's your word? Are you in here, Jim? What's your word for the church? There you go. Ecclesia. If you ever hear Jim talk, he'll talk about that. All right. Because he knows and he's part of the church. And so be prepared. We are not Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's one of the things we discover. Wouldn't it be nice to be able to do whatever we wanted in ministry? Be able to get people saved, get them filled, get them healed, get them delivered. But how many know we can't do that? How many know that's Jesus' job? Hallelujah. And that comes to us quite early in ministry. It's not about us. It's all about Jesus. So we are to be aware of the harvest. How many know 24/7, no matter where you're at, you're walking among the harvest. You are there. If you're at the store, you're in the harvest. If you're at school or work, you're among the harvest. If you're going down the highway and people are giving you the finger, guess what? That's part of the harvest. All right? Pray to the Lord of the harvest to help, all right? Because the harvest is big. We are servants. We are not to be served. We are his ambassador. We are his representatives. And we are to serve them. So don't be dismayed when people don't want to hear what you have to say. So some of you are here today. You won't listen to a word I say here today. I'm glad you're here. But I need you to hear today. I need you to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit today. I've been reading a book called The Red Zone. And it's talking about, if you're familiar with football, every team wants to get to the red zone because that means you're getting ready to score. And what we don't realize is not everybody that we run across is in the red zone, that they're not ready to get saved. You know those people you talk to and minister to, and they kind of say, they don't want to hear what you have to say. They want to argue what you want. They're not ready. How many know that? And why do we waste our time talking to people that don't want to hear it? Yes, preach to them, minister to them, but don't fight them. We're not called to beat them up with the Bible, right? We're there to minister. So what we want to do is find those that are in the red zone, that are getting close, that are ready to hear the gospel message. And so we got to be sensitive to that as a church. We need to find those that are ready. God is working on the rest. He's doing his job. Let's do ours. Let's be sensitive to what the Spirit is saying. Let us be aware of those that are in the red zone. So if there's no pushback or difficulties, church, maybe we're not doing anything. Think about it. If things aren't going sideways and whatever in your life, I tell you what, everything's going sideways in our family's lives. It's crazy. But we're pushing through, and we're believing God's going to do great things. And so we're going to push on through and just believe that we are on track with what God wants. So Jesus sent his disciples ahead of him to prepare the way, to plant and to water. So the happy life is the life that finds out what their purpose is. The ones who find the greater works in which Jesus has called them. Amen? So what do we have? He sent the 12 out. And then he comes away and says, my next point is the return. The return. All right. Verse 17. The 72 returned with what? With joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. He replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snake and scorpions and overcome all the powers of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. So the question we often ask is, what's in it for me? And I want to tell you here, we don't do anything without the motivation of a return. I hate to tell you. Even serving Jesus, I don't care if Jesus, yeah, you care if Jesus does something for you. Peter even asked Jesus, what's in it for us, right? Everybody asked him, and he said, you guys going to leave? He goes, we don't have nowhere else to go, right? What's in it for us, Peter asked. And today we ask the same question. What's in it for us if we're going to serve God, if we're going to go and do what he's asked us to do? What's in it for us? Even Jesus came as what? Emmanuel. God with us, what? For the purpose of expecting a return. You know, we can be, we can have this in mind, and I've often heard it, that Jesus would have came to the earth if it was just for me. How many have heard that, right? How many know that Jesus didn't come to the earth just for you? He came back for the whole world. I mean, that's not a harvest out of billions and billions and billions of people that he just gets you. And I don't want to pop your bubble here this morning, but that's bad sentimental. I want to see the world saved. I want to see you in heaven, right? It's not just I want to get to heaven. I want to see everybody that we encounter get to heaven. All right, I have someone with me. All right. So no one serves Jesus without expecting a return. We all need Jesus to do something or be something for us. How many of you go to work expecting no paycheck? You went to work just to volunteer and be nice and help someone else make money. You go to work because there's an expectation. So why don't we have that in the kingdom of God, that when we go, we do have some expectations. We do have some expectations of what we want Jesus to do for us. So what did the disciples receive in return for being obedient and going? The first thing is they experienced joy. Hallelujah. Amen. We all want to experience joy. But what's interesting about this word joy here is it means excitement. It entails the word surprise, astonishing results, shock. You know, we pray, and then when God answers, what? We're surprised. It's not, I don't think it's a matter of a lack of faith. I think it's that God chose to use us at that given moment to be his vessel, to bring forth his power and to bring forth his glory. So the disciples came back. Yes, they were excited. They were surprised at the results of their ministry. They were astonished. They were actually shocked. And so they came back pumped up because of what had happened. They were given dominion, authority over all the evil spirits. You know, we're pretty good at praying and rebuking all the evil spirits in the world. We are called to resist the enemy, and he will what? He will flee. We do have that power. But I don't know if any of us have really been in the presence of pure evil. Have you ever been in the presence of the demonic? I'll tell you what, it'll make the hair on your arms and the back of your neck and everywhere else rise to the occasion. We when we were in New Mexico, we had a town that we went to, and often some of the townspeople would come in for the services there, and it wasn't unfrequent for demon-possessed individuals to come into the service. And a lot of times what they would do is the demon would manifest itself, and they would pretty much get, especially the young people, out of the service. I remember one specific youth camp that one of my kids that was in my room, he wasn't from my church, but he stayed behind. And man, he came back in and he was, let's say, shocked, astonished, surprised at what the event revealed itself, you know? You know, we just take it like it's not some big thing. It's like talking to somebody. No. When you get in the presence of the supernatural, folks, it'll knock you for a loop. It's powerful. And so he gave them dominion. And we know, we read all the stories here in the Gospels of how many people were cast out demons, right? What do? We lock them up in asylums, right? We let them roam the streets in the United States, right? There are demon-possessed people here, but we don't deal with them. He empowered to heal all kinds of sickness and diseases. I don't know if you've ever been used by God to lay hands on somebody and they get healed. Woo! You talk about exhilarating. That's kind of exciting, right? Amen. How many know Jesus shares his power, but he don't share his glory? So remember that, all right? He wants to use you, but don't take credit for it. He emboldened them to tell others about Jesus. And we know that joy is in heaven over one sinner that repents, right? So heaven is celebrating all the time because people are constantly getting saved. And so the disciples came back. They were excited because people were listening to their message. They were responding to their message. And so they came back pumped up and excited about the results of their ministry. John wrote in his second book, 1:4, he said, "It has given me great joy to find some of your children walking in the truth just as the Father commanded us." It is exciting to see people, yes, commit to a prayer, come to the altar, but it's even more exciting to see them follow through and begin to walk with God. Great joy to find some of your children walking in the truth. So, most importantly, Jesus says here, you know, these things are great, guys. You know, you have power over the demonic. You can heal the sick, maybe even raise the dead. But he says, hey, in verse 20, however, do not rejoice that the spirits or the healings and all these other things, okay, happen when you minister, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Hallelujah. That's called a prioritized life. First things first, folks. You know, your salvation is the most important thing. Because we know the scripture says many on that day will say, Lord, Lord, did we not cast out devils? Did we not, you know, heal the sick? And what's he going to say? Sorry, I don't know who you are. All right? That's bad news for us today. So I was doing this. We were preparing for some of this stuff here today. I was in my office doing some of the printing some stuff out. And the Elevation song came on my testimony. And I don't know if I really tied into what was saying, but it kind of popped in my mind because this is what I was preaching on. And the song goes, I saw Satan fall like lightning. I saw darkness run for cover. And I'm not going to sing it. In my mind, I can sing it, but I can't sing it to you. But the miracle that I just can't get over, my name is registered in heaven. I believe in signs and wonders. I have resurrection power. Still, the miracle that I just can't get over, my name is registered in heaven. Yea, my praise belongs to you forever. Hallelujah. Your names are registered in heaven. That's the most important thing. If you don't do anything else on earth for God, you better have your name registered in heaven. Amen. So Jesus reminded his disciples that the source is more important than the work. Amen. You need to be connected. You need to be plugged into Jesus Christ. They returned with joy, and they were excited about what Jesus did through them, the Holy Spirit did through them. And I'll tell you, when you are used by God, it produces a happiness. It produces a joy in your life to be used by Almighty God to do his work. The third thing I want to point out is the outcome. It says in verse 21, at that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father. And no one knows who the Father is except the Son. And those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. You know, we often consider what constitutes our happiness, right? We even have in our Constitution of the United States life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And it's kind of a self-centered thing here because it's what? It's all about us. But this morning, I want you to think about what makes Jesus happy. What makes Jesus happy? How often have you asked Jesus, Jesus, you know, what gets you excited? What gets you happy? What gives you joy? And so we see it in this story. One of the things that makes him happy here is that. Hold on, I'm reading my notes here. I'll tell you what makes him happy. Okay. Jesus rejoices when his people get it. Do you understand? You can listen to me today and not get a thing. I don't care if you come up after the service and say, oh, Pastor, that was a good sermon. But what makes me happy is that a week later, 2 weeks later, you say something that I said. That you remembered what I said. That you got it. Right? Amen? Jesus rejoices when his people get it. Jesus saw his plan begin to unfold before his eyes. The one that was laid out before the foundation of the earth. It began to unravel right there in front of his eye. He began to see it. And he was excited. We know that faith is not just believing something, but faith is living out what you believe. James gives us a dissertation and says, what? Faith without works is dead. And works without faith is dead. We need both. We need both. And so Jesus is seeing the faith of the disciples and the works of the disciples coming together, and he is excited. Joy came because of the obedience of the disciples. Jesus had one of those Holy Ghost moments. I don't know if you've ever had one of those. Woo! We like that. We like that. Verse 21 says, Jesus, full of joy through what? The Holy Spirit, all right? It wasn't just coming out of him, but it was because of the Holy Spirit. He began to praise his Father, right? And he said there, yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. So what was happening here is Jesus had one of those Holy Ghost moments. He rejoiced. He was overjoyed. He rejoiced exceedingly. It means he shouted for joy in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. You ever have the Holy Ghost on you? You just want to shout, hallelujah. Amen, right? Praise the Lord. Glory, whatever, right? It's one of those moments. It's one of those moments when he had one of those Holy Ghost conniptions. You know, one of those, woo, hallelujah moments. Apply blew the disciples away. I mean, Jesus was having a moment. It was all coming together. Yeah, the cross is ahead of him. Whoa, that's a downer. But at this moment, man, this is good news. He's seeing it happen. Woo. Aren't you glad that God, amen, sees the end and he sees the middle, he sees the beginning. Hallelujah. He sees where we're at, right? He wants us to have these moments. Jesus had one of those moments when he saw his people get it. Hallelujah. Folks, he wants you to get it. The plan of God coming alive in your life. So verse 22 better explains the reasoning for verse 20. And so it says there, right? All things have been committed, right? And the Son reveals what? The Father to each and every one of us, right? It's that relationship. And verse 20, however, do not rejoice that the spirits are, but what? That you're connected to me. Your names are written in heaven. That is the secret here today. That is the outcome. You know, when we do what we're supposed to do and he does what he can through us because we're obedient, woo, he gets excited. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He gets excited. He wants to rejoice with you. He wants you to experience these things. So the outcome is about pleasing Jesus. It's about Christ being revealed in us, being moved and used by the Holy Spirit. That's what he's looking for. That's what he wants you to experience. Because what? This brings happiness. It brings joy into our lives. All right? Our lives are mundane, folks. Read Ecclesiastes. That is the most mundane book in the world. Vanity is vanity. You work, right? For what? Leave an inheritance to your kids. Woo! That's exciting. Woo! Then they fight over it and they don't talk to each other and all those good things. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. Vanity is vanity, right? It's all foolishness, right? Hallelujah. Get a hold of God, man. Our treasure is in heaven. We just talked about that on Easter. Our treasure is in heaven. Amen. Praise God. The last one is the blessing. Then he turned to his disciples, verse 23, and said privately, blessed or happy are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings wanted to see what you see, but did not see it. And to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. I like this. He said, this is for your eyes and ears only. There are things that will happen in your life that will happen to you personally. It's not for everybody. God does some personal things in our life, so we think we have to testify and we have to write a book and we write a blog and tell everybody about it. You know, this is how it's done and this is how you get it. But Jesus has some things just for you. Isn't that great that, yes, he has a plan for all of us, and some of it's corporately, but the great thing is he likes to come to us privately and share some things that maybe is not for everybody, it's just for you. You know, we see Paul, it says he went to heaven, right? He was there, and he said, there was things that he wasn't even allowed to share. He said, I can't share these things with you, the things I saw. We have John writing in Revelation, and there's a point where God, the angel, I guess, says to him, don't write this down. What you're seeing, he said, I don't want you to write this down. Because I believe it was for John. It was just something for him. And we see here the disciples. He's with the crowd. He's telling a group of people. Then he turns to his disciples and says privately. He said, this is exclusively for you. You are part of the inner circle. I'm giving you the VIP treatment. Folks, I want to be in that inner circle. I want to have that VIP treatment where I can hear God sharing some personal things with me. Years ago, when we were associates with her grandparents, I had a temp job as a security guard for the Balloon Fiesta in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And so I had double shifts, 16 hours a day. And the first couple days, it was a blast because I got to drive around on a golf cart, driving the police around. And so that was wonderful because they got to go places that I normally wouldn't be able to go. There was tents set up for just certain groups of people that you had to belong to that group to get in. And they served some good food. And so I drove them around, and so they went in, I went in. I was a VIP when I was with the police. And so we need to understand it's not because of who I was, but it was because of who I was with. And so Jesus wants to have something personal just for you. Yes, he maybe has some things for you to learn, to share, and to pass on to others. But sometimes I believe there are just some things that he has that he just wants to whisper in your ear, and it's just for you. There are many on the outside that are saying it's not fair. Isn't that the reason when somebody gets something, that's not fair. That's not fair. And we can look around, and there are some people that are so gifted, you just kind of want to slap them. You know what I mean? It's like, how can they be good at everything? How could they sing? How could they preach? How could they do this? How could they do that? You know, and it's like, that's not fair. It's not fair. But the biblical principle goes like this, that we can have life. But how many know not everybody experiences abundant life? All right? How many know that the Bible says, Jesus said, I want you to do the works I did. And then he says, there are greater works that I would have you to do. And then he told a couple parables that said, you know, he who has will be given more. So you have the haves, and then you have the more haves. I don't know if there's a way of saying that. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. That, yes, we can have life, we can have salvation, but how much more he wants you to have? Amen. And if that's all you want is fire insurance so you don't go to hell, he's got a lot more for you. There is a reward system in heaven based on what you do. You know, the Bible says, you know, it's going to be tested by fire. It's hay, wood, or stubble. Or it's made of what? Jewels and gold and silver and precious stone. There is a reward ceremony going to be in heaven. I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know. But it says we are going to be rewarded. So folks, why not just enjoy abundant life here? Why don't we start here? If you're walking through this life and you're not getting much joy or pleasure out of your walk with Jesus, maybe because you're not involved. You're not doing something. Because I want to tell you, if you're doing something for Jesus, what happens is that you're giving out. See, some of our cups are so full, you can't add anymore. It just goes in one ear and out the other. But when we work for him, what are we doing? We're expelling. We're giving out. Yep. And how many know you don't eat when you're full? You don't drink when you're not thirsty. So why not give it out become a little bit more thirsty, get a little, burn some of that up, get a little bit hungry, because he has a lot more in store for you. I'll sneak out the back so you don't beat me after the service. All right. It's funner, Linda, it's funner to be on the inside looking out than rather than the outside looking in. It's funner. And we're encouraging you, come, be part of what God is doing. Happy are we when we see and hear. I believe Jesus has some revelation for you, some secret things that he wants to share and whisper in your ear personally. A happy life. I named it a happy life. Folks, as Christian, we should be the happiest people on earth. But what are people seeing in our lives? Moaning and groaning. We're worse than the world sometimes. We got the best thing going. They just don't know it because we haven't showed it. Yeah, we'll move on. All right. So it's not just believing in Jesus, but walking alongside of him. Amen. Hallelujah. I better wrap up. Amen. But he sent his disciples out. He did. There's a harvest, church, all around us. Everywhere we go, there is a harvest. There's even a harvest in this room. There is a harvest. And he's sending us out. And there is a return. Folks, they were given joy. Hallelujah. They're given dominion, right? Power of God. They were emboldened. Joy, joy. It is awesome to see the results of ministry. It is. It's exciting. And the outcome, when we do it, when we get it, when we're obedient, whoo, it makes him happy. Hallelujah. Heaven's celebrating. Heaven is celebrating. And the blessing, of course, is for your eyes and ears only. Whoo, he has some great things for us, church, and for you personally. But it all comes down to getting involved. And this is Missions Month, and you're saying, what's this have to do with missions? Everything. Mission starts at home. It starts in Jerusalem. It starts in our Jerusalem. This is our Jerusalem. And we had the John Bevere class, and like I said, it kind of changed my thinking a little bit because I have made the mistake of preaching that not everybody has a part in the church, that maybe your ministry is out there. But he brought out the point that your ministry is here and there. It's not a choice. And we're encouraging you to get involved. And if you go through some of these areas and you see nothing that you want to do, we also have an area there that, what do we call it? Future ministries. If you don't see one there that kind of floats your boat, then write it in. What does float your boat? Because maybe it's something we need to do. Or maybe something you need to do. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful today for your Holy Spirit. We are so grateful that you called us by name, yes, you did, but you also called us to your purpose. You want us to be involved in your kingdom. And so, Father, we're just coming today and just humbly coming before you. Lord, if there are individuals that do not know you, I pray that this morning they will make a commitment to you. They'll recognize today that they need Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ paid for our sins, our rebellion, for our attitudes that are contrary to yours. We know that he died, that he gave his life up, and that he resurrected from the dead, and that we die to our sin and we live unto Jesus. And if you're here today, I just encourage you to make that commitment to Jesus Christ. If you are in a backslidden area of your life, in a backslidden state, I encourage you, make things right before you walk out of this room here today. We have no promise of tomorrow, church. And if you're here today, we're encouraging you, and our prayer is that you become involved in the church. Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12 talks about the body. We're individual parts of one body. And then if one part doesn't do its part, the whole body suffers. We want you to do your part in this body. We want you to come alongside, maybe in ministries that are already established. And maybe there are opportunities for ministries to be birthed out of this month. Something new, something fresh, something we haven't even thought about. And so we're excited about that. We're excited about what God wants to do in you and through you. And Lord, we just commit ourselves to you. We commit this church to you. We commit our vision to you. And we're believing, God, greater days are ahead. And so we just give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.